They asked me to tape this thing, and it's pretty hard to tape what you're doing, and I was going to explain that, and it's too late.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Okay, and then read the next verse.
With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, for this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance, for all the
saints. Okay. I may have not quite... Okay, and then go down to 19.
And pray on my behalf, the utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, make known the fullness and the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Okay, now this is very important, that we have prayer, that we might speak boldly what we should. I was in Ron Brown's office. He's one of the coaches at the University of Nebraska, and I left his office, and he asked me to come back, and he left me a note, and he sent me this verse to pray for him, that he might be bold in uttering the gospel of Christ. Now, isn't that great? And he is already bold. But he's praying for some more. Isn't that neat? You know, some of us have mentioned that in our questions. We thought, well, what about this? You know, how do I stand up and share what I should be sharing? But the Lord does need to help us, and we need prayer for that. Okay? Would someone read 2 Corinthians 5:14? Believe what God has said. 2 Corinthians 5:14.
The love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all die.
So I need to believe that. I need to be assured. And my wife's family, my wife's mother is still alive, and when that one family gets together, her children and then her children's children, and that family gets together, they're 98. So when we have a family reunion, we have 98. Jesus died for all 98. And we want all 98 to be in heaven. And we're working on it. And we, to our best of knowledge, know which ones are and which ones aren't. And we're going from there. One at a time, sharing. But he died for all. Now, if I believe that, that makes a difference in what I do. So I believe what God has said, that Jesus died for all. Now, 1 Thessalonians 2, 1-8. Would someone read that? Let's see.
For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but after we had already suffered and had been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become very dear to us.
Okay. There is a need for us, according to this, to have what kind of a heart?
Pure
and gentle. Very good. Mike Mott, will you come up here? I never told him I was going to ask him to come up here, but I'm doing it. Mike, have you shared with your mother about Christ?
Yes, I have.
When was the first time you did that?
Probably about 1973, after I became a Christian.
How did it go?
Didn't go the best.
Okay. That was 1973?
Mm-hmm.
Are you still sharing with your mother?
Yes. Last time I was with her was probably Tuesday, and we went over there and read through some of the Gospels together.
What do you think of that? Mm-hmm.
How long has it been now? How many years?
73, that'd be about 26, 7 years.
Okay, now someone asked about that with our family. Now, what are you praying for your mother?
We're asking God just to open her eyes, and that as she's in the gospel is the power of God for salvation, that God's power would, God would use that in her life to open her eyes and to see what Jesus has done for her.
Now, how often do you go? You plan to see her more than once?
Yeah, she just agreed to get together with me once a week, so we just come over and read a few chapters. Purpose not to preach, just to read and let the gospel do what it does.
Thank you very much. Yeah, when I became a Christian, I nailed my dad. I really nailed him. He was a good man, honest man. Yet the family is the center of his life. When I was in the Navy, and I was going to get out, he went to an auction and bought a farm for me. I wrote him a letter and told him I wasn't coming home. I got with this canoe club called the Navigators, and I was staying in the Navy to learn discipleship, and he could keep his farm. That doesn't build relationships, good ones. Oh. 20 years after that or so, I was going to Germany with the Navigators and missionary, and I prayed that my dad would come across a businessman that loved God and that did honest business. Because my dad would watch Christians or non-Christians mistreat people, and he would straighten them out. And some people were mistreating some widows, and he wrote in the papers and revealed what they were doing and exposed them to the community because they were mistreating widows. And one of the person that he exposed left town. But my dad, in answer to prayer, got with a businessman that was living honest. And he shared Christ with him, and my dad became a Christian. And that's in the family. That's an answer to prayer. It can happen, but it may take years. And if we've made some mistakes, we learn, and we learn to humble ourselves and be kind and share Christ with love in our families and out from there. Nick, would you come up here? This is Nick Houston. He's from Beatrice. Mike is from Lincoln. This gentleman's from 50 miles south of Lincoln, and we get down here some. Some of you had asked about friendship evangelism and then door-to-door evangelism. Is that right? What kind do you do most?
Both.
Now, when Nick goes door-to-door, it's friendship. In Beatrice, I was working with a doctor there trying to help him some. And this doctor was witnessing to a fellow across the street. He was sneaking up on him. Sharing Christ with him, but really sneaking up on him. Nick went door to door.
Remember that? Did you tell about that?
Remember? I had a Snap-on dealer that, I'm in the car business, and I had a Snap-on dealer that would come each week and sell me tools, and it would give me an opportunity to share with him, and I just kept giving him verses, and I kept trying to talk to him about his wife. Finally, he said that he was a Christian, but his wife wasn't. And I must have talked to him for probably a year to get together with his wife and share the good news, but he just kept putting it off.
Okay, and did you go to his house?
Yeah.
What happened?
His wife accepted Christ, and the thing that is so important, that if we don't make appointments, we don't do it right. You know, and I kept asking Neil to make an appointment so that we could share the good news. But he would never make the appointment. Finally, one day he made the appointment, and we went and shared, and she accepted Christ.
Have you gone just door to door and knock on the door and share Christ ever?
I've done that. But a lot of times I've just gotten in the car at night and prayed and asked for the leading of the Holy Spirit just to send me to where God would want me to go. And it was really exciting, because a lot of times God would lead me somewhere. I would have a plan of where to go, and there'd be nobody at home or whatever, but God would direct that visit. And God would send me to people that they couldn't understand why I was there. He said, "We're hurting. How did you know to come?" And that's just the leading of the Holy Spirit.
And what do you attribute the fact that you now are bold where once you were not? Or you may not be bold yet.
Well, I'm excited because I found out that people get saved not in the presentation, but through the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23. You've been born again not by a perishable seed, but by an imperishable seed through the living and enduring Word of God. So it makes my job easy. You know, I'm just a seed thrower. And Psalm 126:6 says, "He that goes out weeping, carrying seed with him." And first of all, we got to have a burden for lost. I think we all do, with our loved ones and stuff. But a couple months ago, I hit a verse that's changed my life totally. And it's Colossians 4:3-4. And this was Paul speaking. He says, "And pray for us that God would open the door for our message. Pray that I would proclaim it clearly as I should." Here's a guy that was presenting the gospel all the time. And he knew what to do, but he was totally relying upon the Holy Spirit and God to help him. Isn't that exciting? You know, that God would open the door for his message. And he says, "Pray for me that I would be wise in the way I act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity." See, when I'm in the car business, And before, when I went to work, I was all I had in my mind was selling cars, making money. But now I've got a new ball game. You know, I can pray this every morning, and as I go to work, I'm looking for opportunities that God would open up. And it's just changed my whole life. And it's just exciting to see the power of the Word and see what God would do. It makes it easy. People get saved through the Word, and all we got to do is put the Word out. It's pretty hard, huh?
Would you tell about the gentleman that came and he gave him a job cleaning your cars and then helping get a hot rod built, and then he started to memorize or study and then graduated Valley Corner School and went on to university?
I went into the bank one day, and the banker pulled me off the side. He says, "We've got a 79 Camaro that is not hit that bad in the front end." And he said, "It's a perfect piece of salvage. We've called every junkyard in a 100-mile radius to come and look at this car, but no one will come and look at it." And I said, "Really? A Camaro?" Because Camaros are good property for, you know, for salvage or anything. And I said, "Sure, I'd like to go look at that." So I went and looked at it, you know, and the car was hardly hit, and it was cheap. I'm going, "Wow, you know, why hasn't someone come to look at this car?" And so I told the banker, I said, "I'll take it." And he said, "There's one condition." He said that we do not have the title, and that you're going to have to locate this man and get the title. I'm going, "Wow, I haven't seen him for a long, long time, but I'll try to do that." So I went out looking for this guy, and I found him. And I can remember picking him up and asking him if he would go to the courthouse with me and get the title. And he said, "Sure, no problem." And as I went with him, he started sharing how he'd just gotten out of drug rehab and that he'd been divorced from his wife, I think it was 2 years. And then he had 3 children, and they were just starting to see one another. And I told him, I said, "Man, I've got something that'll put your whole life together." I said, "Could I sit down with you and share the good news?" And there again, I made an appointment. He said, "Sure." So he got his ex. And then, as we started meeting together, I give the man a job, and we started hanging out together. We started memorizing verses, and then he'd start going out with me, sharing the good news. And it wasn't long, and this is so beautiful because you don't see it much today. But it wasn't long. As his wife and him began to grow in the Lord, they wanted to get remarried. And it was probably one of the most joyful times of my life. As I stood there and watched them taking the new vows and getting remarried, and the kids in the background. What a joy. And as soon as they got done, they started singing Victory in Jesus. You know, what a beautiful deal. Something that Satan had totally destroyed this man and his family, and just to be able to be a witness of seeing how God had put this back together. And Mike, he got really excited about the Lord. And he has a bad leg. And when he was working, he started riding a motorcycle. And I used to race motorcycles for years, and I was really concerned about that. I said, "Mike, I said, you've already got one bad leg, and if you're riding a bike and you get hit, you're done." But he didn't listen to me, praise God. But today, Mike got into the Christian Motorcycle Association and has been president in our area, and he has led hundreds of people to the Lord Jesus Christ through this motorcycle ministry. And what a joy it's been to me. And see, it was God that opened up the opportunity, not me. It was the Lord that held back all the buyers on that car. And as I made myself available to God, look at the opportunity He gave me.
Thank you. We may have some more questions on that. But turn to Ezekiel 33. Please. Thank you. I'll read here, starting with verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall not be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that takes warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman sees the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. O thou son of man, I have set thee a watchman in the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. That is a message. I watched my neighbor across the street in high school. His parents both worked, and he would bring the girls home. One got pregnant. After some years, another neighbor came over and said, our friend across the street shot himself. His son that he had birthed to this high school girl now was 5 years old, and he was trying to get possession, and it wasn't going well, and he took his new pickup out and puts a shotgun in his mouth and killed himself. A neighbor 2 doors down came across the street and shared with me. He said, you heard what happened? I said, no. And he told me, and he said, would you go pray with those people like you prayed with me? But for one, it was late. Another neighbor 2 blocks, 2 houses down, moved in, and he came by and he saw me building a shed, and he said, make it a little wider and I'll rent from my boat. And he was kidding me, we had a lot of fun. And I was sneaking up on him, and he had a heart attack and died. It's a challenge, isn't it? To share and be responsible where we should. And build the relationships so that we can share. Now here's a warning. Now if I believe that, I will find a way and I will share. I will find a way if I believe that. I may not be good at it. I may not have a good method. But whatever method I have, I'll use if I believe that. Now, it's good for us to have the method, and it's good for us to tell. Now, Peter, what can we do? We pray, read the Word, get help, believe what God said, and we're bold. Now, in the lost don't know. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural man receives not the Spirit, the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, for they don't understand spiritual things." And that is true. The natural person doesn't understand spiritual things. And they walk according to the world. And the things they do, I may not like. But I can be their friend. And God says tell. And that's why I tell. God commands me to tell. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ is in me. See, the love of Christ constrains me because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So the love of Christ motivates me. Now, it should be happening in my life that the love of Christ should motivate me to share. And if it's not happening, I don't understand the love of Christ. If that's not happening in my life, I don't really understand it. And I need to get to know Jesus better. I really do. If that's not happening in my life, there's a problem in my relationship with Jesus. And I need to know it well enough that I'm going to share in the love of Him. And 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all give an account before God." See, we'll all stand before God and give an account for things we have done, whether they be good or bad. Don't hear that preach much. That's true. I'll give an account before God for what I've done, whether it's good or bad. So I'm going to give an account. Now, what will I tell? I'll tell the gospel. I can give my testimony. Revelation 12:11. Terrific verse. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Now, Nick, when he was sharing, he said 1 Peter 1:23 on your sheet there, instead of 1 Peter 1:2 and 3, it's 1 Peter 1:23. And Nick was sharing, we share the word, we sow the seed. Nick was sharing that. Now, in this, Revelation 12:11 says, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." So I work on my testimony so I can share that. See? Now I do that, and I work on it so that I know, in my testimony, I know how I became a Christian, what my life was before I became a Christian, sin, and my life is good. Then I get in my testimony how someone shared Christ with me. And then I get in my testimony how I responded to that and prayed. And then I get in my testimony how my life's different. I can do that in 3 minutes. And as I do that, someone hears that. And Revelation 12:11 says that overcomes the enemy. See, now no one can argue your testimony. No one can argue that. They can't argue the fact that you've prayed and accepted Christ as your Savior, and your life is different. See, now as we work with people over a period of time, we have people write out their testimony. I have my wife type it up because I sometimes can't read it. So she types it up, and then we go over it, and then we have them rewrite it, and then we type it up again, then we go over them and have them rewrite it, and then we go over it again. So it's worth it to work on your testimony so you get it, so that you don't bore somebody, but you have it very clear how you became a Christian. I got to do that with a doctor's dad and mother this last week. At their table. This doctor was, we were traveling together, and we went to his home, and I sat around the table, and someone had died, and they buried him, and they were talking about death, and I got in, and I shared my testimony. I got to go through that with him and share. And they were really interested and really listening. And we've been praying for them for a long time. That's really powerful. this Romans 10:17 fits along with First Peter 1:23. So that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I share the word, and that's what Nick was saying. Now, how to have knowledge, understanding, and trust, we're going to get in that a little bit in a moment. Then the sharing in Asia, is there where they were sharing. A fellow named Roy Robinson, you heard that name? Yeah, he was doing it. And as they were sharing, the people in Asia would put their trust in Christ, and then they would take a cross and put it up on the shelf with the other idols they had. And they thought, that is not going very well. You follow that? So, would you... pass some of those out.
Over here.
Make sure everyone is over here and just pass some of them. Now this is another sheet having to do with the bridge illustration, and we'll pick up something here that'll be good, I think. On the second sheet of this handout is the bridge illustration as it was made in Asia by Roy Robertson and Doug Sparks. You can just take a minute there to read that. If you look at this illustration, in the middle of the illustration are the three pillars. Now, this is the essence of why these fellas did this illustration, because these people's God sinned, whoever they had for a God, unless it was an idol of some kind. Their God didn't die for sin, and their God, when he died, stayed dead, whoever it was. Jesus did no sin, so he was in a position to pay for sin. He died for our sins, so he did do it. He paid the price for sin, and then he rose again. No other religion has that. That is the difference. That is the basis. Now, if you'll turn over to the front sheet now. We won't have time to cover all this, but if you take this and study it, it'll be worth your perusal. In Luke 24:47, says that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. So Jesus came and he preached repentance, Mark 1:15b, and in Acts 10:43, forgiveness of sins. Now this is what we are to share with people. We're to share that they need to repent and have forgiveness. Now if we share Christ and the person is accepting Christ as Savior and not repenting, probably not true. Probably not happening. The person needs to repent and ask for forgiveness. In John 4:10, Jesus answered and said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Now your group, just talk about that a minute, and answer the question, what would have brought her to Christ? Talk in your groups there about that. What would have brought her to Christ?
And I went out to look on, you know, and then he was Jew. They don't associate on that mark or
okay. Now, if you would turn to John 6:45, turn to John 6:45 in your Bible, please. And pick someone in your group to read that out loud, please. John 6:45. Okay, now if you keep your hand on that one, and also turn to John 20:31. Okay, in John 20:31, it says, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." How many have heard of people doing John studies? Have you heard of people doing John studies? They do John studies because, possibly because of this verse. "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Now John 6:45 says, "They shall all be taught of God. Everyone that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me." Now do I believe that? A fellow came to my door in Australia and he said, I want you to do Bible study with me. I said, why? He said, I've watched the fellows you work with at university and I know they have something that I need. He's a top student. I studied with him a year, meeting with him week by week. He didn't become a Christian. People thought I was wasting my time. But he came every week and he studied better than most Christians would study. And 6 months later, we had a conference like this, and a little larger, and he accepted Christ at the conference. My daughter came up and said, "Daddy, Daddy, Robert accepted the Lord. Robert accepted the Lord." Because when I was doing the downstairs study with him, they were upstairs praying for him, you know, for a year and a half, and he finally accepted Christ. So at this conference, I asked him, I said, "Robert, would you mind coming up at the podium with me and let me talk you out of it?" He said, "I wouldn't mind at all." So I got him up in front of all the people at the conference, and I tried to talk him out of it. He put his trust in Jesus. I couldn't do it. Because he knew, "They shall all be taught of God. Every man that hath heard and learned of the Father comes to him." He had heard and he learned. He knew. He came. I met with Jay Peterson, alcoholic. I studied with him for a year, and still, as I met in his house, we met in his house, and the whiskey was on top of his refrigerator. A little bit later after that, I looked up there one day and it was gone. I thought, oh boy, he may have put his trust in Jesus. He opened the refrigerator and it was full of beer. I thought he probably hadn't yet. And his dad taught him to be an alcoholic by the time he was 12. So he had a problem. But he put his trust in Jesus. "They shall all be taught of God. Every man that has heard and learned of the Father comes to me." Believe that? Will you be patient in helping somebody? It's good, isn't it? Okay, on this sheet now, on the front sheet, see this lady in John 4:10, she needed to know the gift of God, and she didn't know who Jesus was. Lord of all. He's God. He's the Messiah. If I'm working with the Jew needs to know that. He needs to know that he's the Messiah. and I know that. And if I can help him come to know that, that's really good. Who Jesus is in Acts 10:42, he's the judge of the quick and the dead. One down, John 16:8, he's talking to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So when I'm praying for the person that I'm working with, I pray that the Holy Spirit would do that. Convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So as we do the study, that's the Holy Spirit's job. And I know that's happening as we're studying. On the ship I was on, the fellows were leaving Japan, and they would go down the gangway and go on Liberty. And they would go over and shack up with the Japanese girls. And they would buy one for $30 a month. And they'd go over and stay overnight, and then they'd come back. And I had to watch duty, and I'd look at their Liberty cards and their pass, and then let them aboard ship. They came aboard this one morning, a whole boatload of them. As they watched past me, they all knelt on the quarterdeck under conviction of the Holy Spirit and tried to pray. A whole boatload of them. And an officer, executive officer, came out and he said, "Clear the quarterdeck." And no one stopped praying. And he went over and shook this kid. And he said, "I said, clear the quarterdeck." And this kid was crying. And he said, "Sir, you can't stop a man from praying." I didn't convict him. God can do it. And God will do that. You can pray for that to happen. Romans 10:15. "How shall they preach except to be sent?" So we want to know that God sent us. Bring the good news. That you can read those. And then 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. This is the gospel. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain." The gospel was received and believed, John 1:12. Romans 10:9-10, that's where you're saved, and we need to believe that. Now the bottom, Acts 17:30-31. "And the times of his ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead." So as you share someone Christ and they pray, what assurance do they have that this is right and this is true?
We know that God approved of Jesus and his life because he raised him from the dead. Very what he good. Said and what he did.
Very good. So the person that now has prayed and put his trust in Christ has assurance because God had approved him and that God raised him from the dead. That is the basis, according to this verse, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. Now, if we have that as our assurance, that is really good. We'll close here, and you guys can sit and talk a little bit. Before you do that, there is this little deal here that you get to judge.
Should we put anything about when you pull the tape recorder on?
Yeah, I would do that. I'd put that on there so that...
Damaged equipment or something.
Damaged equipment. Sputters a little bit.
Gets excited about the Lord.
Gets excited about the Lord. Yeah, a little bit pushy. No, whatever you want to put. Okay. They've asked us to do that. Dave. You fill that out and then I'll pray, okay? Mike and Nick for coming up and sharing a little bit about being told and all that. Appreciate it. Is there something that someone would like to ask before we dismiss here, or something that you feel that you've got short change or something? Yes.
I've got two questions. When you're witnessing, do you have a feeling by the Holy Spirit to go witness to certain people? And another question is, you saw us talking about, or the other man was talking about, the yes, make sure you made an appointment to talk.
Uh-huh.
Okay, how do you combine both of these at the same time?
That's very good. There is, I think, in the list of gifts, a gift of evangelism. Okay? Now, when I was first became a Christian, I went home to the barracks and I lay down in my bed and I thought about Ed Waugh right across the way, and I said, I've got to go tell him. And I hadn't even saved 10 hours. And I had to make up my mind where I was going to get out of bed and go over there and tell him about Jesus. After that, when I would go into a cafeteria, I couldn't stand it. I would have to go sit at a table where the people were and start talking to them about Jesus. I just could not do that. And I'd be a group, and as they were a group there, I'd ask the guys. I'd say, are you Christian? You're Christian? You're Christian? And they'd say, no, 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 no. And one would say, yes. And I'd nail them. And I'd say, have you told your buddies about Jesus? And he'd say, no. I'd say, they're all going to hell. And you're sitting having lunch with them and having told them? Now, that's not the right approach. But see, it was inside of me. I could not stand it.
You had that zeal.
Yeah, but there was a conviction of the Spirit on me.
You're shotgunning black dogs.
Yeah.
And you're going out and you're hitting anything you hit because of the zeal that's in there, and you're making sure that you got that word out. And that's just praising the Lord because you're saved and you want everybody to know it. But when you come down to the brass tacks and you've got to do it, the Lord convicts you to go to this man, and you don't say, when, how's the approach?
I just jump in. Any approach. I'm sitting on the plane, and I'm asking the person next to me. I say, I'm reading my Bible here. Have you read your Bible? Just like that.
So you ease it in?
Ease it in. And he says, yeah, but I... He says, I don't believe it's true. And he says, I don't think we're responsible for anything. I reached over and took his watch off. He had an expandable watch. I took it off and put it on me. And I said, you said that you don't believe we're responsible for everything, so your watch is mine.
So you're using a example of your teaching, but what you're doing also, you're getting up there and you're making a refutal question to him to make him come back to you.
Right. Well, he came back.
And more than likely, he didn't want his watch, and you're up there saying, okay, you're not responsible for anything else, but yet you are responsible for your soul. And what are you going to do? You're going to tell John 3:16, you know, you're going to wham, you know, and wham and wham and wham.
See, so, but we worked it. Now, as I was doing this, the stewardess comes by and she watches this and she listens. And she accepted Christ. I wasn't after her at that point, but she came. You know? Now, my daughters are sitting next to me watching this, and they said, Dad, on our next plane flight, will you just put us spotted around the plane so we get to do that? I said, sure. Isn't that neat? They wouldn't do it. I mean, they didn't want to sit there and watch this thing. They didn't want to get in. I mean, one thing to sit in football and watch the football. It's kind of nice to play the game. Isn't that right? My children couldn't stand it. I mean, they couldn't stand Dad getting all that opportunity, and they didn't get to. So they do it. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. See, now, that may not answer what you were talking about.
Well, what I'm trying to get at is that a lot of times when we're in a public place, like you're on the plane, you've got your captive audience there, this thing goes door to door, at a workplace, we take a person working with us. I'll give you a good example. I was chaplain assistant in the Army. And a girlfriend came up to me, and we were talking about board, and she was brand new, and I was new, and we were ready getting ourselves in there. And I had another guy that was one of my people underneath me, and I was talking to her. This guy listens to me. I mean, he's getting the whole feel of everything that we're doing. This guy's saved because of what he's doing. He's listening to us. I had another guy, same thing, saved. Another guy, saved. I found out that you can do it indirectly without even talking to them. I found out that, hey, man, I can get over here and I can just talk to this friend of mine right here, bam, 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 and we'll do it like this. I've done door-to-door like this guy right here, probably none. We went on this evangelism trip. The thing that I'm getting at is that sometimes I don't feel as if the Holy Spirit has prompted me to talk to certain people. And I don't like that. I don't like that. I've had a situation I've had a secretary. If you needed God to work with anything in the world, and God said, I have to talk to him. And what do I do? Yeah.
And you're quite sure that she's not, you're sure that she's not a Christian?
Well, I'll put it this way. She was probably in a backslidden state, a very backslidden state.
Okay. Yeah, well, that might be the reason that's coming that way. But in those, then I really pray for that person. Because that person needs help, really, doesn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. And right now, I don't have the freedom to do that. Initially, I just barged in anyway. But that wasn't right. You follow that?
Yes.
See, so then I needed to learn to be patient and pray and ask God to give me someone else or open the door graciously so I could do that. See, we want to be offensive in the gospel without being offensive.
Offensive without being offensive. In other words, you're not talking about passive, you're talking about
I want to be
assertive passive, what you're talking about. Yeah. And what hurts me is that I've seen this done, is that I've had people that I know that I need to talk to, need help real bad, and then the Lord says, just wait. Just wait. Let them see your lifestyle. Let them see what you've done. And to me, I'm not a patient man. I've learned more patience now than I ever have in my whole life. Okay?
Yeah.
And now it's like this, as if God whatever you want. Whatever you want. And to me, I found that my lifestyle helps.
Are you married?
Yes, I'm married.
You're married? Your wife appreciates this now?
She better.
Yeah, I understand. That's great. We'll get back. Father, again, we thank you for this time. That he came. He left heaven, came down, and learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and he died that we might live. That all the world might know that you are God. I thank you for these dear people and their heart to know you and want to share in their families especially, in their friends or brothers and sisters, and in their workmates and on the street where they live. And the people that they see may see their lives. Lord, help us to share graciously and kindly your goodness. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks a lot for coming.